this morning, as we get started today, kind of the theme of this service that Shellum is doing here, his 2021 service, is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we all know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. That's a favorite verse. We quote it all the time. That word there, the idea or the understanding there that God causes things, Charles Swindoll says it's the idea of kind of weaving something together. The ladies, they make a lot of these quilts, and a lot of y'all have had one of these quilts or seen them, and they do patchwork. They put all different patches and turn them different ways and different color on the back, and they put them all together, and when they get done, they're beautiful. Amen? Well, this is what is speaking of right here in Romans. When Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know. This doesn't mean that we hope. It doesn't mean we wish. It doesn't mean, well, maybe this will happen. It means we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, who loves God? Those that God has called to know Him and to be known by Him. He's called them for His purpose. Now, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to turn this over to Shellum, but I just want you to think about, because a lot of times this verse is taken out of context. In the beginning, God did what? Created everything. Do you remember what God said 6 times? It is good. When He created man, He said, very good. But Adam and Eve messed up the very good. God's purpose in calling us unto salvation is to prepare us for a new heaven and earth. Guess what? God is going to recreate. So today we know in this world there is some good stuff, isn't it? Amen? Everything's not bad. But there's also some bad, isn't it? And there's also some ugly. We have death. We have sickness. We have persecution, we've got hurts, we've got betrayals, we've got all this going on. But Paul says, look, God doesn't cause evil things to happen to you. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to you. They happen because of the depravity of humanity. Paul's already argued here and made the point from the Old Testament that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not even one. There's none who do good. Together, they've all become useless. Together, they have turned aside from God. So God's purpose, He says here, is for our good. And this word good in the first 8 chapters here of Romans prepares us to understand the last 8 chapters. That word good is like a moral good. In other words, God causes all the things that's happening in our life, He weaves them together so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we'll become morally good. Now think about it. In the new heaven and earth, there's no sin. Everything's good. Now, why would God want Wesley to show up in the goodness of His recreation and me still be morally bad? Have you ever thought about that? God is working in each of us' life so that we will be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. Now, to understand this a little bit and how we know that God will bring this about, it says here in verse 29, for those who He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed into the image of His Son, so that He would be the first fruits among many brethren. Jesus died for our sins, so God He foreknew us. He's like, guess what? Before you was even a thought to your mama or your daddy, God knew that you was going to spend eternity with Him. And so He predestined you and called you to be justified, this argument goes on, by Christ. So God called us to hear the gospel, to accept belief in Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection, so that we could be reconciled to God, start living a life pleasing to God. And he says, guess what? If you've been foreknown, predestined, called, and justified, which means made right with God. Did y'all know that none of us could go in the presence of God before we got saved? Right? We were sinners. God's not. He says, so if I've justified you, I've made you right, you got a legal standing to end up into heaven. He says, if I've done all that, why wouldn't I also glorify you? When it talks about being glorified, it means, John says in 1 John chapter 3, when we see Christ, then we'll know what we should be. So if God didn't spare his own son but sent Jesus to die for our sins, and Jesus justified us, made us right with God, we can take that as assurance that he will also prepare us to live out eternity according to his pleasure and his purposes. So when something bad happens to us, it's not that God is making that happen. When something good is happening to us, you know, we seem to like that better than the bad and the ugly. But God uses all those things to work together so that we will trust in him more. And by trusting in him more, we learn to live a life more pleasing to God. Does that make sense? And so you say, well, how do you trust him more? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and we pray. Have you ever had something going on in your life and you did pray about it? You know, most of the time when something first bad or ugly happens in my life, the first thing I decide to do is I'm going to fix it. I always figure you can either repair it or beat it up. Right? That's just the way I'm built. And when you start doing things that way, you realize how fleshly we are. You know, we need to pray and say, Lord, I need to handle this your way so that it'll bring you glory and bring me good. So it'll change me into the image of Christ. And you say, well, how do we do that? Well, you read the Bible. We know that. But also we know that we can trust God and the Holy Spirit. Paul says here that the Holy Spirit intercedes with us while we praying with groans so deep that words won't explain them, because God knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit's in us and knows what we need. So sometimes we just have to keep praying while the Holy Spirit and God is working in us so that we can see what we need to strengthen and sometimes what we need to let go of. And this is the purpose that Paul says God has in calling us, so that he can make us like Christ to live forever with him. This morning, I pray that when you get home, you would look up this verse. We all know this verse. And just out to the side on your Bible, or put your sticky note on there. I don't know what you're going through this morning. And it might be something that I'm not familiar with. It might be something that I've never had to deal with. But whatever you're going through, God will help you with it. Just write that down. It might be sickness. It might be grief. It might be a job. Just write it down. And every morning this week when you get up, you say, Lord, I still don't know what to do about this. Today's no easier than yesterday. But I do know this. If you foreknew me, if you predestined me, if you've called me, if you've justified me, you're going to get me through this and get me all the way to eternity. So, Lord, just help me today to become what you have called me to be today. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you. And, Lord, I ask that you would just help us continually remember that you are working the good things in our life, the bad things, and the ugly things. You're working them together so that we can be conformed into the image of Christ. One day we'll not be on this fallen earth. One day we'll be with you out of the presence of sin, out of the ugly and out of the bad. We'll just be enjoying our good in the midst of your glory. Lord, until that day, help us work with you as you work in us to make us who you saved us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Shalom if he'll come. Y'all give him a hand.
Soaking up the sunshine, saving for a rainy day. In every hairpin turn, I can hear my mama pray. I'm reeling in the one on the line, not worried about the one that got away. 'Cause I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. 'Cause every tunnel still leads to a light. No, I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. Thanking God for the best and worst of times. I'm living this glass half. Yeah, I'm living this glass half full life.
Why don't you look at somebody right beside of you, smile at them real big, and say, you're looking awful purdy this morning.
You'll find me on the good side of every bad news way. It ain't no accident, that's why the potter made the clay. I always see a mud puddle.
That's right.
When others see a lake. 'Cause I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. Every tunnel still leads to a light. No, I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. Thanking God for the best and worst of times. I'm living this glass half. Yeah, I'm living this glass half full life.
Or look somewhere on the other side of the church now, wave at them and say, I'm so glad you got to see me this morning.
I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. 'Cause every tunnel still leads to a light. No, I ain't gonna get everything right, but I'm gonna make this a real good ride. Thanking God for the best and worst of times. I'm living this glass half. Yeah, I'm living this glass half.
Now that should be our prayer every single morning is, Lord, let us make today a glass half full type of day.
Dear God, standing next to a barren field, a broken heart needs time to heal. I've done my best, but this life just ain't fair. God, I don't understand. I pray, but I can't feel your hand. But in my deepest and darkest despair, I see you there in my little girl's smile, every country mile on a back porch rocking chair. And I see you there in a little white church with the peeling paint and the feeling I get when I say your name. And someday soon I'll see the real thing. But for now you left a little piece of heaven everywhere. And I
I see you.
Dear God, trying to be the best that I can be, searching for rainbows I know I'll never reach, but in my deepest and darkest despair, I see you there in that little white church with the peeling paint and the feeling I get when I see your name. Someday soon I'll see the real thing. But for now, you left a little piece of heaven everywhere. And I see you there when I sing Amazing Grace, when I see you move in my everyday. But someday soon, I know I'll see your face. But for now, you left a little piece of heaven everywhere. And I see you.
But again, it's been an honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. I hope that something I sing, something I say will be a blessing to you and encourage you just a little bit. And we are... How are y'all doing this morning? There you go. There we go. That works. But like I said, my name is Shalom Klein, originally from a small town of Troutman, North Carolina. Grew up there in Troutman, live now in Hickory, North Carolina, and travel all across the country in what they call Christian country music. That means I get to wear my blue jeans and cowboy boots and sing about Jesus, amen? And I absolutely love it, and this year so far we've seen 14 souls come to know the Lord as their Savior. And we're excited that God's still moving and God is still in the saving business, amen? And again, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Like he said, in 20 days I'm getting married. Y'all pray for that girl. That's all I can say, all right? But, yeah, we'll just leave that right there. But this next song I want to share with you, like he was talking about, you know, each and every day we write a story. We write another page in our story. Sometimes it's filled with the good. Sometimes it's filled with the bad. And sometimes it's filled with the ugly. And this next song goes right along with something that I actually wrote for my daughter. And my little munchkin, she told me, she looked at me one day, and I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. She looked at me. She said, "Daddy, I want you to write me a song." And I said, "Well, honey, I've written you like 50. She said, "But Daddy, I want a good one." It's like, all right. So I asked her, I said, "Ella," I said, "what do you want me to write about?" And she wears little pink glasses everywhere she goes. And she took those glasses off and handed them to me. You know, as I was sitting down writing this song, I got to thinking about all the different times that I'd had one of the worst days of my life. But it all changed when my little munchkin crawled up in my lap, gave me a big old hug. And she's got this little thing where she'll grab me by the cheeks right here. And she just says, "Daddy, I love you. I'm glad you're my daddy." And every single time she says that, can I tell you, it's just like God just reminds us. You know, sometimes we just need to crawl up in our Lord's lap and say, "Daddy, I love you. And I'm so glad you're my daddy." I want to share this little song with you. I promised my little munchkin I'd share it everywhere I went. And it's called Little Pink Glasses. While I sing this, I want you to think about the little munchkins God's put in our life. and how much of a blessing they are to us each and every day. She believes in Santa Claus. Some princess turns to frogs. She thinks that her daddy's a superstar. She likes chicken nuggets, mac and cheese, piggybacks bouncing on my knee. She knows that I love her with all my heart. At 3 feet tall, she makes this grown man cry. So I'll just hold on to right now for the rest of my life. Because it's lightning bugs and princess dresses, cleaning up her own messes, stalling bedtime long as she can. Trying to save every hug and every laugh. You bottle them up, but they go so fast. I hope she grows as slow as molasses. Cause right now, she's perfect in little pink glasses.
Now y'all tell me how true this second verse is, okay?
Before long, she'll be rolling her eyes, knowing it all, telling white lies. She'll think that her daddy's old and lame. It'll be first call, first date, and I'll be calling if she's one second late. And Lord help me when she walks across that stage. 5 feet tall, she'll make this grown man cry. So I'll just hold on to right now for the rest of my life. Because it's lightning bugs and princess dresses, cleaning up her own messes, stalling bedtime long as she can. Trying to save every hug and every laugh. You bottle them up, but they go so fast. I hope she grows as slow as molasses. Cause right now, she's perfect in little pink glasses. One day when I'm old and gray, I hope that I can hear my little girl say,
thank you, Daddy.
For those lightning bugs and princess dresses, cleaning up all my messes, and stalling bedtime long as you could. You tried to save every hug and every laugh. You bottled them up, but they went so fast. And no, Dad, I didn't grow slow as molasses. Life was great. Those years were perfect in my little pink glasses.
Aren't you thankful for those little munchkins God's put in our life? Amen. Amen. This next song I want to share with you is one that's one of those songs that after I wrote it, my record label looked at me when I sent it to him, and he asked me, he said, are you sure you want to put this on your album? And I said, yes. I said, it's time to stand up and do what needs to be done instead of just floating around. He said, all right, here goes. But I want to share the story behind this song real quickly. I was at Walmart. Go figure. Everything happens at Walmart, right? And I was at Walmart, and I was going to grill out that evening. I'd gotten a new grill, and I was all excited, so I went and got me some hamburger buns and some hot dog buns. And I'm that type of guy to where when I see somebody, I will make a conversation with you, whether I know you or not. I just don't meet a stranger. Anybody else do that? Oh, good. We've got people pointing at Miss Mona already. Amen. That should tell us something. But, you know, I loved doing that. And there was this young man that was standing there. And this young man didn't look like your typical Christian. He had tattoos all over him. His ears was pierced from top to bottom on both sides. And I just kind of looked at him and I said, "Brother, I wish they'd make this a whole lot simpler on a country boy and just give me one or two options for hamburger buns instead of 54. And we got to talking and laughing, just joking, right there in the middle of the Walmart aisle with the bread. And all of a sudden, this sweet little lady walked up to me. And she tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around and she looked me right in the eye and she said, "Do you know who you are?" And I looked at her, I said, "I don't know, ma'am. Do you know who you are?" And she went on to tell me that she had been to several of my singings and that her son was a pastor and that I go to his church every year. And she was telling me about all that. And the whole time this woman was talking to me, this guy over here was looking like, "What in the world is going on?" So needless to say, as she started walking off, now this is the same woman in her pocketbook brought out one of them selfie sticks. How many of y'all women keep selfie sticks in your pocketbook? You know, I've never known anybody to do. Brought it out in the middle of Walmart, put her phone on it, and took selfies with me in like 12 different angles. And I'm just standing there saying, "Lord, right now is a good time to push the rapture button, all right?" So needless to say, when she walked off, he looked at me, that young man looked at me, he's like, "So are you like famous or something?" And before I could say anything, that sweet little godly woman yelled at the top of her lungs from the very top of that aisle, "He's a Jesus singer. He should sing for you." And so I spent the next 15 minutes of my life explaining to that young man that I was in full-time ministry. And this is where things changed. He looked at me and he said, "You're a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, like a real one?" And I'm like, "Well, we're not dinosaurs. We do exist." And he looked at me and said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I just can't see it." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Explain that one to me, because I felt like I was doing something wrong. You know, I was like, what in the world, Lord? Where's this going?" And he looked at me. He's like, "You smile." And I looked at him and I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Man," he said, "the experiences I've had with Christians," he said, "that's just something that's not in your characteristics." And that got me thinking. I'm like, well, wait a minute. And I looked at him. I said, "Brother," I said, "talk to me. Tell me what you mean by that." He explained to me that he had just moved to town. He had been there about a month and had been to two different churches. He said the first church had somebody follow him everywhere he went, keep an eye on him. And the second one, the preacher stopped him at the door and told him they didn't allow his kind in their church. He needed to find somewhere else. Folks, can I be honest with you this morning? That was just one individual on the bread aisle at Walmart in Hickory, North Carolina. I wonder how many more is not saying a word that we have to look at, and we get the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with every day, but guess what? We don't do it. That afternoon I got home, and that idea, that thought kept replaying over and over in my mind. And the only thing I could think of is how many times we as Christians are failing at sharing the love of Jesus. I'll be honest with you. I'll be the first one to tell you. I love talking to people, but there are some people that I get a little nervous talking to, that don't act like me or don't look like me. And I wonder how many times God has told us to get out of our comfort zone and out of our little box and share what God's done in our life with somebody that don't look like us, that don't act like us. I'll never forget the first time I walked into a biker church. I was scared to death, brother. This guy was 20 feet tall, standing at the door, had 945,216 tattoos, and could have probably picked me up with his pinky. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you Shellam Klein?" I'm like, "I don't know him." That's where I was at, brother. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But how many times has God put us in a place to get us out of our comfort zone? That afternoon as I was sitting there on my new grill flipping them burgers, having a good old time, I got to thinking about that. And it hit me that that young man was judging Jesus by the way his kids were acting. Now think about that. He was judging Jesus by the way his kids were acting. So sitting right there, flipping them burgers, I got my phone out, brother, and I started doing a voice memo into the phone, and I wrote this next song. And I want you to think about this as I share this song with you that just simply is entitled, Judging Jesus. Listen to the words of this song as I share this with you. And really think of how many times has God put us somewhere where we need to be sharing Jesus with somebody that may not be like us.
Some folks don't go to church, and I don't blame them. Sometimes I don't want to go myself. Mom says I can't tell the difference between right and wrong and lazy, but she's just happy I'm no longer bound for hell. He called us to be his children, but we fight like family. We're all just forgiven sinners who sometimes act like kings and queens. But if you're judging Jesus by looking at his king, we're only gonna let you down. We're nothing like him. He was the perfect sacrifice. We're just here to tell the tale. So I hope you won't be judging Jesus till you meet him for yourself. Just open up his word and he will meet you right there. Black and white and red. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and all the black marks against you will be covered by the blood that he shed. He chose to die for sinners, then to sit upon his throne. He made us a home in heaven when he rolled away that stone. So if you're judging Jesus by looking at his king, we're only gonna let you down. We're nothing like him. He was the perfect sacrifice. We're just here to tell the tale. So I hope you won't be judging Jesus till you meet him for yourself.
I want you to think just this week alone. How many times has God opened the door for us to share his love with somebody? Well, because we were too busy, because they didn't fit in our circle, we turned and walked the other way, saying that's somebody else's job. How many times has God put people in our path for us to share that?
You're judging Jesus by looking at his king. We're only gonna let you die. We're nothing like him. He was the perfect sacrifice. We're just here to tell the tale. So I hope you won't be judging Jesus till you meet him for yourself. No, I hope you won't be judging Jesus till you meet him for yourself.
Aren't you glad to know this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're fighting with, you're ready to throw your hands up and say, I can't. Remember, God says, you're right, but I can.
There are times when I feel helpless, like I'm out here all alone, a ship out on the ocean that can't find its way home. I can't walk on water. I can't part the sea. I can't think of a single reason why anyone would forgive me. God, yeah. God, yeah. Turn this sea into a highway. Build a road for a soul that's lost. Give life to a new day. Come down from the cross. Conquer death and hell for eternity. God can even save a man like me. Back when I thought I knew it all, I didn't need His saving grace. When I tried doing things my way, I fell right on my face. But He was always right beside me, even when I was alone. Like a beacon in a lighthouse to guide this lost ship on. God, 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 turn this sea into a highway. Build a road for a soul that's lost. Give life to a new day. Come down from the cross. Conquer death and hell for eternity. God can even save a man like me. One of the hardest things for a man to do is admit when he is wrong. Come like a child and lay his sin at the foot of the cross. And remember, God is. God, yeah. Turn this sea into a highway. Build a road for a soul that's lost. Give life to a new day. Come down from the cross. Conquer death and hell for eternity. God can need save a man like me. God can even save a man like me.
I want you to really think about the words of this song. It just simply says, can never get back this day. When I heard myself getting on my keys, I thought of my old man. So I called him up. We shared a laugh. He said, son, now you understand. Boy, it goes so fast. Don't let this moment pass. Floors will get scratched up. Walls will get marked up. A ball's gonna wind up breaking a vase. Floors can be sanded. Walls can be painted. And a vase can be replaced. But you can never get back this day. When I hung up the phone, couldn't help but think how tired his voice had grown. The strongest man that I ever knew had somehow gotten old.
Boy, it goes so fast. Don't let this moment pass. Floors will get scratched up, walls will get marked up, a ball's gonna wind up breaking a vase. The floors can be sanded, walls can be painted, and a vase can be replaced. But you can never get back this day. As I look around at this mess we're in, they're fast asleep, and I'm holding them, my little girls, my whole world. Floors will get scratched up, walls will get marked up, the ball's gonna wind up breaking a vase. The floors can be sanded, walls can be painted, and a vase can be replaced. But you can never get back this day. No, you can never get back this day.
You know, that song has a message that'll really make you think. Like I stated earlier in the service, every single morning that we wake up, we write another page of our story. And we continue writing that story until we close our eyes in death. Then our story is over. You've heard the phrase of the dash between the dates on the tombstone. You know, the first day and the last day is the beginning and the end, but what's important is what makes up that little dash. And each and every day, God's given us an opportunity to write another page of our story. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's ugly. And you know, how we work in each and every situation, the good, the bad, and the ugly, says a lot of who we are as Christians. You see, many of you that have known me for a while knew that back in 2018, my world turned upside down. Many of you knew that Satan himself started fighting in so many different ways that I could never have ever imagined. And then in Christmas Eve of 2019, I decided I thought it would be fun to have a heart attack. There's been different things been taking place, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say this, and I promise I'll hurry. I know I got 4 minutes, but I'll have y'all out by 4:30, I promise. But you know, there's been times that I've sat at the house, and I've questioned, God, why in the world? Why am I having to go through this? Why can't life just be good? They were picking at me earlier today because, like I said, we're getting married in 20 days. And my fiance asked me on Thursday of this week, she said, what do you want for the wedding cake? And I was like, I don't care. That's a wrong answer, by the way. Just so y'all will know, if any of y'all plan on getting married anytime soon, that's the wrong answer. Don't say that. And I felt bad, brother, because, you know, that was an ugly part of the life. And she was like, don't worry, I'll do it myself. And I'm getting off track here, but I'm proving a point. So hang on with me. So what did I do? I felt bad. And I felt like I needed to fix it, just like you said, because you've got to be in control of things, right? So what did I do? I picked Shellum's version. She didn't like that I wanted a camo cake. She didn't like my camouflage idea. She didn't like the fact that the husband and wife sitting on top was actually two fish. She didn't like that. But you know, then we got a chance to turn around and laugh about it. And she's even used that with a friend of hers that doesn't know the Lord is their Savior. She used that moment. And she texted me right before church, said, guess who texted me this morning and said they wanted to go to church with me? See, God can take the smallest things. A wedding cake. Who would have ever thought? But that's the same God that can turn a sea into a highway. That's the same God that can do for you today whatever's going on in your life. When you are throwing your hands up and says, I can't. He says, you're right, you can't. But I can, so you just sit right there and watch what I can do. But you know, I said all that to say this. There's been many times I've just sat back and said, God, I don't understand. And I can't do this on my own. I just wish you would tell me. And brother, I've been praying that for a while. I was like, God, will you just show me while I had to fight through all this? Just show me so that I'll better understand it. Because I don't know if y'all realize this, and I'm going to get an amen from Mona here in a minute, but I'm stubborn. All right, I am. I'm stubborn. Amen. But I want to share with you what happened. A little town called Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina, just a couple hours from here down on the east coast of North Carolina. Sunday morning, there was a Sunday morning service just about a couple months back I was singing at and loaded up all my stuff, and I was fixing ready to leave. And so I was walking out the door, this sweet little lady come up to me with tears in her eyes with a phone in her hand. And she said, I know you got to go, but will you take just a couple minutes and talk to my son? And I picked up the phone. I said, hello. And all I heard on the other end of that line was someone that was angry. Someone that was beyond infuriated. And you could tell that something was going on in his life. And he went on to tell me that his wife had walked out on him. He had two little kids that she's refusing to let him see. That it was causing medical conditions because of all the stress he was under. And I asked him, I said, young man, where are you at? And he said, I'm about a half mile from the church. I said, can I meet you? And he said, I'll meet you in the parking lot. That's usually not a good sign when somebody says, I'll meet you in the parking lot. But I showed up, and folks, I'll kid you not, Shellum Klein was not ready, and I promise I'm hurrying, but Shellum Klein was not ready for what he was about to experience. I'll admit to that. Because when that young man pulled up in his truck, I walked out. The preacher, preacher's wife, and that sweet little mama was in the church praying. And I walked out, and I got about as far from that young man from me to you. And he reached over in his front seat and picked up a gun and put it right here. And I knew one mistake would have ended it all right there. That young man rolled his window down, and I began telling him my story because that's the only thing I knew to do. Of how my story literally was parallel. Pretty much just the same options, just different characters to what he had just told me on the phone. And I began to cry because for the first time in a long time, I had to open up and peel back everything, and I couldn't share the good parts. I was sharing the bad and the ugly that I didn't even want to experience. Because you see, at that very moment, that young man could have cared less how many number one songs I've had. That young man could have cared less how many stages or how many churches I've sung in across this country. He could have cared less whose phone number was in my cell phone, what I drove, where I lived, what my favorite color was. He could have cared less. All that needed to happen right then was he needed to know that everything was going to be all right. And after I spent that time sharing my story, that young man looked up at me with the gun still pointed at his head, and he said, but you serve God every week. So if your God's real and He loves you, then why in the world did he put you through it? And for the first time, I had my answer. Because I looked him right in the eyes and I said, for you. And he looked at me and he said, you don't even know me. What do you mean for me? And I said, sir, I said, I just told you my story, which is the exact same as yours. And I said, while I was going through there, I said, I was the one that had the gun in my hand. I said, I was the one that was ready to give it all up. And I said, but I can tell you right now, I'm on this side now. And that, yeah, it was not fun to have to walk through what I walked through. And there were days that I was done. And I swore I'd never pick up a microphone and ever sing for Jesus ever again. And I said, but sir, I just did it. And I said, I'm here to tell you that on this side, you can look back to see that God was still God right in the middle of it. And I said, and I promise you'll learn a whole lot when you get over here and what you did over there. And he looked me in the eye and he said, you really believe that? And I said, yes, sir. He said, and I'll stand right here and I'll say it again if you need me to. And he looked at me and he said, so your God will love me too? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, he sure will. And it was at that very moment that young man took the gun down and handed it out the window to me. I grabbed a hold of that door. I slung that thing open and I grabbed and drug him right out of that truck. And right there in the middle of the parking lot, after God's office hours, some of y'all will get that in a minute, 50 feet from the front of the church, a young man that was literally 27 days older than me met Jesus Christ for the very first time and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And all it took was me sharing the bad and the ugly, and God turned it around for the good. Let me ask you this question this morning. What if I'd been confronted with that young man and I didn't have to walk through the fire? I didn't have my story. Where do you think that young man would be? What would I have said to him? You see, folks, sometimes we have to walk through the bad and the ugly, just like he said, so God can turn it around for good. And how amazing would it be when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Now, y'all think about this a minute. I like to think of it as a big old buffet of chicken and tacos. Think about that now. Come on, somebody needs to say amen right there. We get up there, think about this now. You go over and you grab your chicken leg, take a big old bite, you got grease running down your face. That's all right, because there's no calories in heaven. Amen. That should be shouting fit material right there. And all of a sudden you hear a commotion. You see little old David over there, and he's sharing his story. Now, y'all know how stories go. Think about it. Boys, y'all should have seen it. I walked up in there, every one of them scared to death, Goliath. I was like, what in the world is going on? I was like, y'all need to go home to your mama. So what did I do? I went over, I picked up them stones. I had my slingshot in my pocket. Put that thing in there, reared back, whopped him right in the noggin, flopped him flatter in a pancake. Coolest thing ever. Y'all know how stories go. And all of a sudden, while everything like that's going on, somebody taps you on the shoulder. And you turn around, they look you right in the eye, and they say, you don't know me. It's because of you that I'm here. Can I tell you, at that very moment, every night you spent laying in your bed crying, saying, God, where you at? Every night you've laid there, said, I can't do this anymore, I'm done. Every tear that you shed will be worth it at that very moment. moment. Why? Because you're bad and you're ugly. God used so that somebody could turn it good. And somebody's in heaven. Because you were a Christian. Not just name only. This morning, folks, let me ask you this question. Today in your life, if you're facing something and you're the one that's sitting there, you've got that fake smile on your face, because trust me, I faked it till I made it several Sundays that I got up to sing. I ain't gonna lie. But maybe you're here this morning and you've got that fake smile on your face. You're doing everything in your power to keep from falling apart. This morning, why don't you just come and just give it all over and say, God, I can't do it by myself. So I'm giving it to you. And I can promise you that he will pick that thing up and he says, all right, you sit back and let me take care of it from here. And he'll show you exactly what needs to be done and he'll win another victory for you. When was the last time this morning? Well, let me ask you this. Let me rephrase that question. How many of you this morning can raise your hand and say you know of at least one person that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? All over the house this morning. When was the last time you got serious enough to get on your knees and on your face before God and beg God to save the soul of the individual that you see in your mind right now? Every one of us see a face, don't we? You see it right there. When was the last time you got serious and said, God, please save them, or better yet, let me be the one to lead them to you? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Shalom, I'm not sure if I was to leave this world right now, if I'd make heaven my home. I'm just not sure. If that's you, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to slip your hand up. I'm just not sure. If I was to take my last breath right now, I can't promise you that I'd live with Jesus forever in heaven. If that's you, just slip your hand up. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Shalom, I'm fighting a battle. I don't want to fight. I'm that person you were talking about, that I'm fighting something I just really can't handle on my own. If that's you this morning, you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. God sees those hands. Christian, when was the last time you just said, God, it's yours. I can't, but I know you can. So I'm giving it to you today. And when you lay it at his feet, don't turn around and pick it up when you walk off. Just leave it there. Maybe you raised your hand this morning and said you know of someone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. When was the last time you got serious with God? Because see, God's called us to do a job. Just like Preacher West said just a minute ago, he said, God's called us. He's given us a calling. And how true that is. Our calling is not to be seat warmers at the local church house. It's to be folks that are willing to stand up and say, you know, let me share with you what my God has done for you. And that way they can turn around. And even through the bad and the ugly, God can make it good. As I sing this invitation song to you this morning, this altar's open. Will you come? Pastor will be here if you need to pray for this morning. Will you come? Will you allow God to do something in your life today?
I may never get to sing in the circle at the Opry. I may never see my name in neon lights. I may never have a song when the world hears they sing along. No one may recognize one lyric that I write. Lord, remind me that you called me to be the best that I can be. Servant pointing sinners to the cross. I may not be a Billy Graham, but Lord, help me to understand. Just one soul is saved, it's worth it all. No matter how big the stage, or if the world knows my name, at the end of the day, Lord, remind me that you called me. Sometimes it may be a thousand, other times maybe 12. You hear the words in music that I say. Lord, when I feel worthless, I can't see I have a purpose. Remind me once again that you called me. So Lord, remind me that you called me to be the best that I can be. A servant pointing sinners to the cross. I may not be a Billy Graham, but Lord, help me to understand that just one soul is saved, it's worth it all. No matter how big the stage, or if the world knows my name, at the end of the day, Lord, remind me that you called me. When it seems I'm not making a difference, when it looks like no one cares if I show up or not, remind me, Lord, you've given me a job to do, and I must give the best that I got. So Lord, remind me that you called me to be the best that I can be. Servant pointing sinners to the cross. Though I may not be a Billy Graham, but Lord, help me to understand that just one soul is saved, it's worth it all. No matter how big the stage, or if the world knows my name, at the end of the day, Lord, remind me that you called me. At the end of the day, Lord, please remind me you called me.
As you leave today, I pray that you keep the message of this service on your heart and your mind and carry it out through next week. This evening when you get home, read chapter 8 of Romans. Chapter 8 of Romans. I don't know what's going on in your life, the struggles you have, the hurts that you have. Paul says in verse 25, he says, if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for that. Some days we don't know what God is doing. We don't know how He's going to bring our suffering, our hurts, to an end. We don't know how He's going to use them. But we do know what He's doing. He tells us in chapter 8, He's making us into His children. Paul says, through all things, we can count on this. Whatever's going on in your life, in the end, we win. God will conquer those things for us. Paul says this. He says, if God, or a better translation would be, because God is for us, who can be against us. He says that we can conquer all things through Him who loved us. So think about this. And be convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any living created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So whether you're going through grief, tribulations, trials, spiritual warfare, God can use all those things to be a testimony of how you've trusted in Him, just as Shalem shared his. I'm here today because the lady told me about the bad times in her life, not good. I'd always heard God loved me. But when she left me that morning, I knew I didn't have God's love in my life. Because I said, no matter how much I love nobody, I'd never tell them all the bad things that happened to me and how God brought them through me. I'll never forget Miss Silver Butler sharing that with me. She said, Wesley, you're not going through anything that nobody else doesn't go through. And she told me all the bad things and how God helped them through them. All I'd ever heard was how God always was in the good times. And I'm like, you know, it didn't do no good if I'm just having bad times. Let us pray. Kind Father, I thank you that you never waste a hurt, a mistake, a pain, our grief, a betrayal, anything that happens in our life, Lord, that you're there with us, working with us to conform us into the image of Christ. That, Lord, we know no matter what Satan and sin throw our way, that you'll help us conquer it, help us rise above it. That, Lord, you will lift us up. You'll set us on a safe and stable, secure place. That, Lord, then we can say, my head has been lifted up above my enemies because it is my God who fights for me. Lord, I pray that we will share with someone today. Shalom has asked us to think of someone we know that's not saved. I pray that we would just call and share with them how you've intervened into the hurts of in our lives and how you've worked all things together, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be convicting them so that we could share the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for coming. Y'all give Shalem another hand. He's got some CDs back there, and the offering buckets is at the front and the back in the white buckets. We thank y'all for coming. If y'all need anything, text or call. Don't forget, the 15th will be our next Bible study on Wednesday night at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. Thank y'all for coming.